Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have spoken, and we pray this morning you will help us to receive your word with great joy and indeed with the conviction of your Holy Spirit. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we come, I'm just aware of the time, sorry, if you do need to duck out, that's quite okay, I won't be offended. Today we come for a brief, so I'll cut things as I go. Maybe if I take my glasses off, I won't be able to read anything. No, that'll make it longer, sorry. We come to a brief 3-week series. We're just having a break from Mark's Gospel to look at a mark or marks of a different kind. Today, the marks of conversion. Next week, the marks of maturity, and the following, the marks of leadership. And the marks of conversion, as I said, is what we're looking at today. It's conversion's a word that we're not really all that familiar with. We don't throw it around much in conversation, at least I don't. Although, if you watch Grand Designs or Escape to the Country, those lovely British shows, you'll come up with it often there because they love doing barn conversions, don't they? And you see this place ramshackle, run down, no roof, you know, rats and cows used to be in there, and it's good for nothing. And someone comes along, falls in love with it, spends a couple of mil, on it, and presto, there's beautiful, you know, lovely shining granite, this and all that sort of stuff. And in a sense, we're talking about conversion of a different kind today, spiritual conversion, and that is our relationship with God, our Creator. Be it run down, dead, useless, lifeless, or alive. And really, that's where the word conversion still has its usefulness. We could use it, we could talk about the marks of conversion, we could talk about the marks of regeneration. In other words, being alive, being made alive relationally to God. Of course, Jesus speaks of new birth. And unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of God. We could talk about the marks of conversion, the marks of those who are saved, the marks of those who are Christians, the marks of those who follow Jesus. They're all really saying the same sort of thing. The marks of those who've been profoundly changed by God. And that's what we're looking at briefly today. And it is really a great transformation process that God does and wants to do in us. And it's quite significant, actually, that we examine ourselves, because, as I've already mentioned, Jesus says, unless a man or woman is born again, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And there'll be plenty of people, and there are plenty of people, that walk around thinking that they are Christians. And you might think that you're a Christian here today just by the simple fact that you've walked into a lovely stone building with some nice lights and a big pipe organ and think, well, I must be a Christian. Well, we need to examine ourselves, hence the mark of conversion. Now, I need to say up front that these marks of conversions are not sort of hoops to jump through in order to become a Christian, and nor are they key performance indicators that we might have in business that we have to make sure that we tick off. You know, if you don't do these things, you're out. No, they're not those. But these are marks or markers of a life that has been transformed. Signs of one, as John mentioned a moment ago, of one who's gripped by Jesus. Marks of conversion. 3 points. Makes it simple. You're going, oh, 3 points. That's good. He'll be over soon. Repenting, relying, and relating. Repenting, relying, and relating. The first thing that the Spirit of God does in an unregenerate or unconverted, a person that's dead to God, the first thing that the Spirit of God does is to convict us of our sin. This is entailed in the idea of repenting, because actually repenting means to turn from running my life my way to running life God's way, to turning to Jesus. And the first thing that God does in us is to convict us that we are going the wrong way. To convict us that actually we've ignored God. We've ignored His rule. In fact, this is humanity all over. We live as if God didn't matter. We live as if God didn't rule. And more aggressively recently, regrettably, we live as if God didn't exist. And the Bible calls that sin. And the first work of the Spirit of God is to convict us of our sin, to convict us of the fact that we're going in the wrong direction. Of course, our natural state is to hide and run from this idea that we're in sin. In fact, John uses the word in his account of Jesus' life that Jesus is the light of the world come into our darkness. What do? We are so used to the darkness that the light that confronts us is that it is confronting, and we run and hide. We won't turn to Jesus because we're afraid that the light that he is will expose the sinfulness of our hearts, with John's conclusion that men love darkness rather than light. And in fact, the cross of Jesus, to quote Dick Lucas, is the testimony that humanity, given a chance, will always try to murder his maker. We don't like Jesus the light because he exposes our sin. But the work of the Spirit of God to bring about repentance is firstly the convicting of our sin. Frankly, this is nothing too much different to any relationship that's gone pear-shaped. Unless somebody realises that they've been not treating the other person as they deserve to be treated, unless if I'm treating my wife poorly, unless I admit and then confess that I've been treating her poorly, it's going to be pretty difficult for that relationship to be restored. And that's not too dissimilar with us and God. The Thessalonian Christians, and we're just going to be briefly touching on the work of God in the Thessalonian Christians, the work of the Spirit of God amongst them was to bring the Word of God to them with deep conviction. And they turned, in verse 9, they turned from idols to serve the true and living God. That's the work of God, the converting, regenerating, making alive work. But it's not just turning from my sin. I mean, many people, are convicted of their sin, but what will they do with it? What we're called upon to do is to turn to Jesus, to hold on to Jesus, because there in Jesus Christ we have that which we need because of our rebellion. Forgiveness of our sins. Friends, our sin, our rebellion against God, whether we acknowledge it or not, has amassed a huge debt. All of us have a debt to pay because of how we've treated God, our Creator. If we were to pay for the debt, if I were to pay for the debt of my sin, if you were to pay for the debt of your sin, why, we would be dead. Dead relationally to God? Yes, forever. And physical death is a painful reminder to us all that things are not right relationally with God in his world because we've ignored him. Death in our world is a constant reminder that we've been alienated from God, our Creator. And we do not deserve a relationship with God of any sort of friendship. But Jesus Christ came to unite us again to God. He came, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. He came not to be served, but to serve us, to love us, and to give his life a ransom, a payment for us. And it is one thing to be convicted of our sin, but it is another thing to turn to him, seeing that Jesus is the Saviour, the one who died in my place so that I could be forgiven, so that I could have eternal life. The work of the Spirit of God to regenerate and to bring us alive. And turning to Jesus gives us solid assurance of our sins forgiven. Listen to what John writes in chapter 25. I tell you the truth, quoting Jesus, whoever hears my words and believes on him who sent me has eternal life. He will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Solid assurance in the face of death. We have eternal life. That is why a Christian funeral is vastly different, because of the hope that we have. And we have solid hope that the Lord is with us through the trials and afflictions of this present life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Marks of a converted person: repenting and relying. Repenting from our sin and relying, trusting in Jesus Christ. So how are we going with this? Examine ourselves, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, to see if we are in the faith. Test yourselves. Finally, relating. Relating to God, relating to others. I don't know if you've thought much about this. I probably have thought about it far too much, but I think that when you read the whole of the Bible, you get the unavoidable conclusion that God has made us for relationship. God is the relational God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He made us for relationship with Him, not to generate relationship for as if He was lonely. No, He made us to share relationship. And we see these in the opening pages of the Bible. God speaking, communing, walking with, relating to. And of course our rebellion and our ignoring of Him is personal against Him, relationally damaging to Him and with Him. We were made for relationship. We know that within ourselves, don't we? With each other, when things don't go well in the home, with the children, with the spouse, with the partner, with the auntie, with the uncle, with whoever it might happen to be, the boyfriend, girlfriend, things are just draining. We were made for a relationship. The primary relationship for which you were made is relationship with the one who made you, God Himself. And relating to God is so significant. When His Spirit works in us to bring us alive to Him, why, we will want to listen to Him. We will want to talk to Him, just as in any relationship. And God could have spoken to us through folklore or mysticism or religious art or music or even nature, but no, God has chosen. Of course, we can learn some things from these. I'm not sort of putting them all down, but no, God has chosen to speak to us in and through history in a real, clear, unalterable manner. He acted, He spoke, it was written down in and through history. And finally, He came into this world to speak the loudest and the clearest in His Son Jesus, whom He has appointed heir over all things. And these things are written down for us. So when we pick up our Bible and read it, we're listening to God speak to us, to humanity, to us. And the regenerate person, a converted person, a person whose relationship with God is alive, will love to hear from Him and won't leave our Bibles on the shelves. The pages of this book are breathed by God. Human authors, yes, but God's story. And the Thessalonian Christians, why, they received the word of the Lord with great joy. And in chapter 2 of Thessalonians, Paul says to them that they received the word that he spoke, not as if it was from man, in 2:13, but actually, as it is, they received it as the very word of God. So how important is taking in the word of God to you? If we're a regenerate, if we're alive to God relationally, then surely it must be very significant. So does coming along to church, how does that rate? Do we think, oh, well, I'll come there if I've got nothing else better on? Or do we see our great need to be under the word of God and to also share together the word of God, that the word of God may dwell in us? And, of course, as we read the word of God, so God's Spirit works in us to change us to be more like Him, relating to God. And, of course, calling upon Him in prayer, not only listening to Him, but speaking to Him. What a great privilege we have as Jesus himself invites us to call God, the creator of the cosmos, to call him Father. To call him Father and to come to him at any time. He hears our prayers. We can pour out our hearts to him, as Psalm 62 says, for he is our refuge. So often prayer, however, is the last resort than the first thought. But a person alive to God will love to talk to the one who made us, who saved us, who loves us. And relating to each other. Relating to each other as God's people. God has called us, if we're his, if we've come to him, if we're converted, if we're regenerate, if we're born again, all of those things. God has called us together as his people, together as one, the body of Christ. Paul uses the image in Ephesians, having told them of two warring people being brought one. He speaks of them as one new humanity, who were once warring, who were once at each other's throats as two different racial groups, now one in Christ Jesus, built together into a living temple in which he lives by his Spirit, declaring, showing the love that we've been shown, declaring, loving the forgiveness that we've been given, being generous with each other, as John mentioned earlier on. Flows out of all of this relationship with each other. And of course, the Thessalonian Christians were not dissimilar to this too. Their labour prompted by love, seen throughout not just their town but the region. And relating finally to those who are around us that do not yet know Jesus. If we are alive to God, if we realised ourselves that we have been down the wrong track in sin, ignoring God, and God has granted us repentance, why, we will want other people to know him too. We will long for our friends and our family that don't know him, who are condemned because they've said no to him. We will want them to know him too. Converted, regenerate person. We have been called, chosen, God's holy people, Peter writes, to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. It's a mark of a regenerate person that we will love others that don't yet know Jesus, that we would tell them, there's a Saviour who loves you. Friends, what great news we have to share. What great love we have to show. The marks of conversion: repenting, relying, relating. Conviction of sin, turning from it, trusting, holding on to Jesus, continuing to do that, continuing to be amazed by the grace that we've been shown, and relating to God, listening to him, meeting up with others to share the word together, small groups, come and see me if you want to, if you're not in one, and loving the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll forgive us for the times when we have ignored you, when we've walked our own way, when we've put you on hold, for the times when we've allowed busyness, distraction, disappointments to keep us from you. Help us, Heavenly Father, to continue to hold on to Jesus, the true lover of our soul. And help us, Heavenly Father, being in relationship with you, right relationship with you, help us to love your word, to delight in your word, to read it, study it, mark it, memorize it, meditate on it, digest it. Help us, Lord, to never, to always remember that you are always more ready to listen to us than we are to pray, for you are our loving Father. And help us to love the world that continues to sail on as if you didn't exist. That all we know may hear of your saving love and mercy and turn. Help us, Heavenly Father, to examine our hearts, to see whether we ourselves are in the faith, we ourselves have turned, trusted. And we pray all this for your glory, that Christ indeed may be seen in us. Amen.